Oh God, as we receive your word through your Holy Spirit, open our eyes to your justice, open our ears to your judgment, and open our hearts to your love.
Amen.
Amen.
A couple of years ago, my kids gave me a birthday present. It was a subscription to a thing through public broadcasting called StoryWorth. And in it, I was to weekly write out a memory from the past to create a body of stories which, at the end of a year, would be compiled into two hardback books with pictures to be given to each of my two children. I must confess, my initial response was, "What? You give me a present that entails my weekly writing assignment to be given to you at the close of the year? What kind of a present is that? It sounds more like work to me and sounds more like a present for you." Well, on top of that, the fact that I tell them stories all the time, sometimes they seem to be interested, other times not so much. But I tried to be a good sport about it, and though I didn't make it every week, I did manage to get together 100 pages, which was amassed into a hardback book at the end of the year. I told stories about their grandparents, their great-grandparents, about their dad and me, about their birth and about their childhood and more. Now, what is the value of telling and subscribing of these stories? It gives us a clue about who we are and where we have come from and what is expected of us. One chapter in StoryWorth I entitled, "You Come From Good Stock." And this is in spite of the fact that our family history is littered with enough unsavory drama to script a soap opera. I expect yours is as well. So here is Jesus, the master storyteller, giving us yet another of his narratives, which we not only remember, but which have the power to shape our lives, our values, our activities, and our direction as we try to follow him as best as we can. Let's hear this story from Luke 10. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine, and then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Now, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How long have I been at Rock Lake? Seems like forever, doesn't it? I know that it was before the pandemic ended because we were all wearing masks when we came in to worship. And for a while, Ravi Isaiah and I took turns with preaching assignments until his health no longer allowed him to do that. And then I became the pastor, and I knew that I was accepted when you started telling me stories about your life and about the church, about how long you've been a member and where you had lived before you lived here, and about how your children had been raised in the church and where the sanctuary was located initially, where the choir room is now, and how some things for the church have turned out and other things have not, and how beloved the church was to you during times of celebration and times of sorrow. And I began telling you stories about my life too. What was the value of our exchanging narratives about our lives? First of all, it signaled deepening trust, and it also illustrated where we'd been and where we thought we were going, and it showed what shaped our ideas about mission and calling. It said who we were and what our values were, and with those stories in mind, it pointed us in the direction where we consciously or not believe God's will is for us. The famous anthropologist Margaret Mead was once asked this question: what is the earliest sign of civilization in any given culture? Well, the questioner expected the answer to be a clay pot or maybe a fish hook or perhaps a grinding stone. Instead, her answer was a healed femur. The femur is the leg bone above the knee. It's the thigh bone. And Margaret Mead explained that there are no healed femurs found where the survival of the fittest is the greatest value. But a healed femur shows that somebody cared. Somebody had to do that injured person's hunting and gathering until that bone healed. There was evidence of compassion, she said. It was the first sign of civilization. Compassion. The first sign of civilization. How are we doing with that? How do you teach compassion? How do you instill empathy in those who seem to be surrounded by a barricade of hate? It's a good question to think about in these troubled, violent, confusing times in our world, especially, but not only, in our own country. The way Jesus did it was by telling a story. Why? Because stories can change our lives. Stories allow us not only to understand what somebody else is going through, but to feel it. The key to human change is not the mind, but it's the heart. And our minds then follow our emotions. And when our emotions are elevated and activated and empathy for others kicks in, we begin to make sense of the world from a new perspective. We begin to understand. Stories can take the place of real life experience. In our hearts and minds, when we allow ourselves to be transported into a story narrative, we may actually feel like we experience what it's like to be there. Think about the last time that you got so wrapped up in a movie plot that you lost track of time and space, or a book that you couldn't put down, even though you knew you had other things that needed to be done. While scolding may put people on the defensive and may even stop them from listening, stories can help them to accept responsibility and to change direction in a way that they decide for themselves. The Bible is full of stories told by rabbis and prophets and Jesus himself in order to help people to see differently, to behave differently, to understand differently. In the Old Testament, where King David steals and claims the beloved wife of his faithful soldier Uriah, and then arranges to have Uriah killed so that he can have her, the prophet Nathan tells the king a story. He tells about a rich man who owned great herds of animals, but looked over the fence and saw the single, well-loved little lamb that belonged to his poorer neighbor. Nathan says the rich man had his neighbor killed, and then he steals the little lamb. Well, King David is enraged. "Where is this man?" he asks. "He should be brought to severe justice." "Thou art the man," the prophet replies. And David repents in sorrow and takes responsibility for his actions. Or when the people of Israel fail to behave righteously toward God and toward each other, the prophet Isaiah tells a story about a vineyard in order to illustrate how it is that we can bear fruit toward each other. When Jesus wants to show how to redefine the concept of neighbor, he tells a story, one of many more that he would use to touch people's hearts and to change their perspective. Our Lord understood the power of a story as a way to teach compassion and right living toward God and toward each other. When telling stories, Jesus did not lecture. He didn't command. He didn't threaten or cajole. Instead, he told stories so powerful that people's lives were changed. And these stories were remembered by the church for decades past the time of his crucifixion and resurrection. And we still know them and are shaped by them today. His stories are powerful and always have a twist. Just when you think you know how the story is going to end, he surprises us, and we are invited to rethink what we thought we knew about God, about ourselves, about the world. The story in today's scripture is no different. The story begins with a question: who is my neighbor? And it ends with, go and do likewise. The lesson? Compassion. Mercy. The hero? A surprise. It's not his listeners' fellow Jews, but it's a despised enemy, a Samaritan. It's the last passerby on that road to Jericho that you would have expected. In our world today, as in Jesus' world, no amount of fiery preaching, lecturing, instructing, protesting, raging, insulting, or bashing will ever change a heart that is set in its current path. But a good story, that'll do it every time. And that's what Jesus knew. If you want to change the world, you do it one heart at a time with a powerful story. The Bible is that powerful story. It's God's love story for all people, a story of shared humanity, of hope, of tremendous falls from grace, and a grand rescue at the hands of Jesus. In our world today, nothing can beat that story. The story of Jesus, the story of salvation that is so heart-shattering that no one who hears, really hears, goes unchanged. The story that shook a world and grew a faith. The story that is your story still today. In a world that is today filled with hate and fear and anger and division, God's story can be a healing force, a saving grace, water in the desert, real change. In the midst of news that no one knows what is true, reports that cause us pain, fighting on social media, branding and influencers, the truth lies in God's story and hope and change. You want hope? Turn to Jesus. You want to change the world? Tell his story. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are the master storyteller. And we thank you that we are part of the larger narrative of creation and history. We pray that we may fulfill our chapter in this larger story with grace and integrity, with compassion and mercy, and may it be to your glory. Amen.